Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 24th video for the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we're going to cover the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which continues our examination of the historical books. And we'll start with some background issues. Now we're going to look at the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles together, because like the books of Samuel and Kings, these two books were originally one. And they were later split into two when they were translated into Greek. Next, let's talk about the names of these books. The Hebrew title for this book is literally translated Words of the Day, which probably means the events of the day. In other words, they're the official record of what happened at that time. And then the English title, Chronicles, is a loose representation of this idea. So this book is an official chronicle of the history of those days. Now, the Greek translation called these books the things omitted. In other words, they recognize that these books cover the same period as the books of Samuel and King, but then they include much information that the earlier books did not contain. So they're saying these books fill in those gaps. Now, I don't think that's a particularly appropriate title, because as we'll see, Chronicles contains a lot more than just supplementary material to Kings and Samuel. Now, like the earlier historical books we just talked about, the authorship of the books of Chronicles is anonymous. Now, it's somewhat likely that this author is the same person as the author of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And tradition says that is Ezra, but we have no way to know for certain whether that's the case. And I also want to mention the place of these books in the Bible. In our English Bibles, they come in the historical books after the Book of Kings, because they review and continue the history. But remember, the Hebrew Bible has the same books, sometimes in a different order. And in the Hebrew Bible, the books of Chronicles are at the very end in the category of the writings, kind of bringing the history, the story, to a close. Now, remember this diagram, which connects the biblical books with the history that they cover? Now, notice in Genesis through Kings, the primary history, it's a continuous narrative that covers epics 1 through 4. And then the secondary history, Chronicles through Esther, retells part of this history and then goes to cover Epic 5 as well. So in one sense, the secondary history covers Epics 4 and 5, the monarchy and the exile return. But in another very true sense, the secondary history covers the entire history, all 5 epics. Now, what do I mean when I say this? Am I contradicting myself? Well, what I mean is that epics 1 through 3, they're not directly narrated in Chronicles in the secondary history, but they are summarized in the chapters of genealogies. Now, the first 9 chapters of Chronicles is a list of names, and it begins with Adam. And among many other names that it goes through, it mentions people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. So they don't retell these stories, but they bring them to mind if we read the genealogies carefully in light of what all these earlier books have already told us. Then, beginning with David, it starts to give a more detailed historical narrative similar to what Samuel and Kings does. It reviews most of the same material, but it tells the story from a different perspective and for a different purpose that we'll examine in just a bit. But now let's look at the organization of these books. The outline can be broken down into 4 major sections based on the content covered in each section. The first section is obviously the genealogies. The historical list of names is a self-contained unit, just of genealogy. Then the second section tells the story of King David and his reign. The third section tells the story of King Solomon. And then the fourth and concluding section tells the rest of the history of the southern kingdom, Judah. Now, that's a fairly simple, straightforward division of all the material covered in these two books. So now let's look at the content of the books of Chronicles, starting with some key verses. First is 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. That says, "All Israel was listed in the genealogies recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. The people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness." Now, this verse obviously serves as a summary of all the genealogies, but it also summarizes the end of the kingdom of Judah in the Babylonian captivity. The next verse is 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, which says, "Saul died because he was unfaithful to Yahweh. He did not keep the word of Yahweh and even consulted a medium for guidance, and he did not inquire of Yahweh. So Yahweh put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse." Now this passage very succinctly sums up the rule of Saul. Saul's story is not told very much in Chronicles, just simply summed up. He was unfaithful, he died. Let's move on to the next king. Which brings us to 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 14. It says, "David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people." And this passage briefly summarizes the rule of David and God's evaluation of his kingship. Then is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 16. It says, "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eye will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Now, this passage is God's message to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And God expresses his commitment to the temple as the place where he put his name. And he commits to hear prayer directed towards the temple as the place of his presence. And it also contains the famous verse where God promises, if his people repent of their sins and turn back to him, that he will forgive them and heal their land. Which is, of course, classic Deuteronomistic theology, which God is always faithful to fulfill in history. And next is 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. "Yahweh, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of Yahweh was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy." Now, this passage expresses the negative side of Deuteronomistic theology, that God's people are punished when they sin, and how much more when they despise and ignore God's gracious communication to them. They experience the wrath of God. Now, ignoring God's word is a very dangerous move, and I don't recommend it. finally is 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. It says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of Yahweh spoken by Jeremiah, Yahweh moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. Yahweh, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may Yahweh his God be with him, let him go up. Now, this passage is how the book of Chronicles ends. It's a decree by the Persian king for God's people to return to the land and rebuild the temple, which had been destroyed. Thus, the books of Chronicles end with a profound message of hope and the expectancy of the restoration of God's people in the land. Now, let's look a little bit more closely at the relationship between and the contrast between Chronicles and the other historical account that we see in Samuel and Kings. First is the occasion of the two accounts, which we learn from how these accounts end. Remember, the book of Kings ends with the exile. But the book of Chronicles, as we just saw, ends with the return from exile about two or three generations after the exile began. And this helps us to discern the purpose for each account. Remember that Kings was written to answer the question, why did the exile happen? It explains the exile, that God did not fail, nor was he too weak to protect Israel from conquest. Rather, the exile is God's strong work to punish the sin of his people. It's a result of Deuteronomistic theology. But the books of Chronicles were written to answer a different question. See, the first readers of Chronicles, they had already been living with the consequences of the sin of Judah. They already understood the message of the books of Kings. So the question that these books address is, okay, what now? See, Chronicles doesn't explain the exile, it explains the return. And it emphasizes for people who had been oppressed and punished for so long that there is still hope. God's purposes and promises, they are not over. Despite the appearances of the exile is not the last word. See, God is still doing something with and through Abraham's people, Israel. Therefore, the books of Chronicles, they're fairly positive in the way that it tells the story. See, Chronicles highlights the good in Israel's history. It tells of massive revivals under King Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and King Josiah. It highlights the examples of God's deliverance of his people. And it even tells that wicked King Manasseh, he actually repented and was forgiven. This is information we're not told in the book of Kings because it was different purpose. And Chronicles also downplays the bad in Israel's history. The sins of David, the sins of Solomon, Chronicles is silent about them. And it doesn't tell the story of the northern kingdom. And it downplays Manasseh's sin. Now, this is not deception. This is not spin. It's not withholding something. It assumes that the people already knew these things from the books of King and Samuel. But those things don't serve the purpose that the author's trying to accomplish in writing Chronicles. And Chronicles tells the story of the southern kingdom, Judah, alone. See, the northern tribes, they don't disappear when the kingdoms divide and the northern kingdom is destroyed. It makes a point that all 12 tribes are still represented in the southern kingdom, Judah, because all the faithful people from the northern tribes, they relocated to the southern kingdom in order to remain faithful to the Lord and to his temple. You see, Chronicles is written from a priestly perspective, not the prophetic perspective of Kings. That is, that in Chronicles, there's an emphasis on the Levitical leadership of Israel, and there's an emphasis on temple worship, and there's an emphasis on the proper form of religious practice. You see, Chronicles evaluates the kings on how they worship and how they serve the temple ministry, or if they ignore the ministry of the temple. And then finally, of course, Chronicles goes further in history and tells of the restoration. The end of the story, the author and the first readers, they're headed back from Babylon to the promised land. So these things were written to serve the community back in the land, to give them hope, to give them encouragement, and to instruct them how to live and worship. So now let's briefly summarize each of the four sections. First, the genealogies. Now, this section reviews Adam through the monarchy by way of just listing the names. And when the readers read the names, they're reminded of the stories that the name represents. And this gave the first readers a sense of identity and a sense of continuity with their past. This is the same story that we're still involved with. Someone once said, we need a sense of history to have a sense of our destiny. And then the next section is about the time of David. And in Chronicles, David's story concentrates a lot of material on how David made preparation for the building of the temple before he died. Not only did he secure the land, but he also provided all the materials, detailed plans, and he gathered the workmen and the leaders to build the temple. And then next is a section on Solomon. And like the previous section, it gives special attention to the building and dedication of God's temple. Remember, this is a big idea in Chronicles. And then finally, the section on Judah. Similar to Kings, it tells the cyclical story of the series of kings, one after another. And Chronicles kind of emphasizes the emotional roller coaster, because it describes the lows of unfaithfulness and idolatry of some of the kings, but then it describes the highs of repentance and national revival under other kings. Now, according to the purpose of this book, it gives more attention, more focus on those times of revival. And obviously, this is an encouragement and a blueprint for how this could work in a similar way in the lives of the readers. Now, this wild ride of revival and idolatry, it continues until they're eventually taken into captivity in Babylon as judgment for idolatry, just like Kings. But Chronicles does not end in captivity. It ends with a promise and foreshadowing of restoration and return to the promised land, which is going to be narrated in the following books. So now, let's look at the theological themes of the books of Chronicles. The first theme is David and his dynasty. These books, they concentrate on the Davidic covenant being worked out, continuing even after the exile. And it encourages the hope that it's going to continue to be worked out in the life of the people as they return to the land. God's promises to David and to David's descendants, they are still in effect. And then the second theme is the temple and the worship of God. Now, David is the initiator and the designer of the temple ritual because God revealed these things to him. And therefore, Chronicles calls the readers to faithfulness to the temple and all its ritual. And it's a big deal that they do these things and they do them right. And this gives them renewed hope because the temple would be rebuilt and this ritual would be restored as they go back to the land. Okay, so now let's review. First, we'll review the four sections of Chronicles. And they are genealogies, David, Solomon, and Judah. And then we'll review the themes of Chronicles. They are David and his dynasty, and the temple and worship of God. This then, that's the general message and content of the two books of Chronicles. This history is retold for the sake of renewal and recommitment to God's purposes and promises. Now, in the next section, we'll look at how the story unfolds when the people return to the land, as we're going to see in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And I'm looking forward to finishing the story. Thanks for watching.